Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As of right now, we are at war.
How desperate you call on such lost creatures to defend you.
How desperate am I? You threaten my world with war. You steal a force you can't hope to control. You talk about peace and you kill because it's fun. You have made me very desperate. You might not be glad that you did. There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they can become something more.
Welcome to Fury's Finest, a podcast about Marvel Crisis Protocol and the Marvel Universe. My name is Jesse Aiken, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Bruffett. How are we doing today, Chris?
It's a busy time of year, Jesse. We're getting character reveals. The NBA playoffs are firing up, heating up. Round one, let's go. Could be good, could be bad. We'll see. Next week, you'll be able to tell by the sound of my voice how it's going. But yeah, it's a lot going on. Fun time of year. The weather's nice. No complaints. How are you, man?
I'm really good. Absolutely inundated with MCP and Shatterpoint reveals and boxes. Overwhelming.
Yeah.
There's not enough time.
And my Shatterpoint time has taken a hit because of that. I'm very much looking forward to being able to get back in there, get some games with Plo Koon in. But before that, man, I got a lot of MCP I got to play.
We'll make it happen on all fronts for sure. So it's very exciting. And we will be covering this news very soon that Chris is talking about. We're just waiting for AMG to give us all the news like they do and us to do a comprehensive news update around these spider foes. And I'm looking forward to doing that. It's exciting.
It's very exciting, man.
It's literally like one of my first loves in the game, and it's come full circle, right? We're coming up on year 5 of the game, and to come back to spider foes is going to be really fun for me personally, but also just like, it just feels very right. Like the circle is coming back around.
Well, I've got some thoughts I'm honing for that news episode about the spider foes. So I'm excited to be able to talk about them.
Ooh, cannot wait. But today we are continuing our X-Force discussions, which is very exciting. And we're also continuing our Laura Kinney series, part two in a way.
This really is Laura Kinney part two, which I'm ecstatic about.
No, I am too. Yeah.
She's legitimately one of my favorite characters in Marvel. She keeps climbing up my power rankings. Love it. And, you know, honestly, Honey Badger's climbing up my power rankings too.
As she should. Yeah. And it's fun to do a Laura Kinney part two, because our Laura Kinney episode, I feel like, was really comprehensive. And we hope you guys enjoyed that last week. But also, we get to see a different side of Laura in this, and we get to learn more facets of the Wolverine family today, right?
Well, and we left off Laura's story last week in a very interesting place. She had not really taken the Wolverine mantle. But today, we're going to talk about Laura Kinney, Wolverine. Oof. For a while, she'll be the only Wolverine, right?
So big sis, yeah.
Yeah, this was a big time in her character's arc. This was a big time for her character in pop culture and in Marvel sales, all that stuff. So really exciting stuff, Badger. During this era, Honey Badger and Laura are pretty much one unit. So we'll be talking about both today.
Absolutely can't wait. And you said Laura Kenny is one of your favorite characters. She's one of my favorite modern characters too. And fun fact, she is my wife's favorite character.
Oh, that's awesome.
Canon. Yeah, because growing up and still, she's a massive Logan fan. And so the fact that she got obviously a completely new shade of Logan and Laura Kenny, yeah, that's very refreshing. And so she just absolutely adores Laura Kenny. So I love doing these episodes, learning more about her favorite character as well.
That's very cool.
Team Wolverine here, Chris. Team Wolverine. All around.
Now, is your wife a fan of the late, great recording artist DMX?
She respects DMX. I don't know how deep she is in with DMX.
DMX doesn't strike me as someone that would truly resonate on a cellular level with her, but...
Yeah. My wife's more of a rock and roll girl, so...
This is the era of those Marvel hip-hop covers.
Of course.
You know? Yeah. And Laura got that DMX cover, where DMX is on the cover, kind of bloody and whatever. And after DMX's tragic passing, that comic just skyrocketed in demand because DMX fans wanted a tribute to DMX. DMX comic book fan crossover. Very cool. That guy was a very interesting and really amazing dude. So not to have a little DMX corner here. Sorry.
I love it. Yeah. No, it's fascinating, Chris. Fascinating. And I love the comic sales fluctuations with pop culture and just the real happenings of the world and all that.
Hey, man, and DMX fans ride hard for DMX, which I think is neat.
Today, we are talking about Gabby Kenny.
We're talking about Honey Badger era Gabby Kenny, not Scout.
Not Scout. Okay. Yeah, layers to this, Chris. Layers.
There are layers to this.
You're going
to
teach us all this today. But before we do that, we have some people to thank.
Fury's Finest is supported by Mr. Laser. Go to mr-laser.square.site for all of your Marvel Crisis Protocol needs. And at checkout, remember to use the discount code FURY5, one word, lowercase, F-U-R-Y, and the numeral 5. Get your orders in for those Spider Foes boxes, Asgard boxes coming soon, I hope. Fingers crossed. A lot of good stuff coming up.
Yeah, anything on Mr. Laser's website, our code works for even like Shatterpoint product and other games. So if you're buying MCP in there, throw something else from his store in your cart, support him and use our code and let him know that we sent you. Of course, Furious Minus is also supported by iWarGame. iWarGame makes the best marked mats for MCP in the business. When we say marked mats, if you're new here, we say they are mats with these circles to help you set up deployment of objectives very quickly, within seconds, and get you started right away. And on top of that too, the mats are very high fidelity, a lot of detail going on, and not any like copying, pasting. Like the mats are all unique art assets, and lots of Easter eggs abound. That Mars Colony mat, which is my personal favorite, has all kinds of cool sci-fi Easter eggs, and even some Marvel Easter eggs, Thanos's weapon on the ground, and things like some Xenomorph Easter eggs, which really speak to me as a huge Xenomorph fan.
You get to play some Where's Waldo while you play MCP.
You absolutely adore it. And you know, this is the 11th hour. I did mention the month of April. All their mats are discounted, and our code does stack with that. Our code is FFPODCAST. You get 10% off, so you get 10% off. They're already discounted rate for this month. And so, yeah, if it's still April and you're hearing this, make sure to jump on. But even if it's May, jump on and use our code.
It's going
to
be May. And of course, this show could not happen without our wonderful patrons. We are a patron-supported podcast. You can become a Furious Finest patron by going to patreon.com/furiesfinest. There you can receive any number of benefits, but for even just $1 a month, join the Discord, have access to painting gallery with no name voting. You'll have access to our Secret Wars series of TTS leagues and, you know, just whatever else we're talking about. So think about it.
Yeah, jump in, join the community. We'd love to have you. And of course, Chris, this week I have some new patrons to thank. Jordan, Stuart, and Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, guys. And as always, we've got to send a big shout out to our Avenger level producer, the man that keeps the lights on, keeps it all going, Sean. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you so much, Sean. All right, Chris, let's get into lore today on Honey Badger, Gabrielle Kinney.
All right. We are in X-Force, so we are going to be dealing with some violence, but the Honey Badger story is notably less fraught.
Love that.
With the problematic stuff.
That's good. Because every episode lately, we've had a warning. Because
they've been tough, man.
These X-Force discussions.
It is the violent arm of the X-Wing. You know, what can we say? But Gabby, we'll be dealing with a little bit of torture, some ultra violence, of course, being X-Force and a Wolverine family character. And we'll have a little bit of, I know it's I mean, there's still some pretty dark topics here. It's just, I don't need to give, I just don't need to give a trigger warning, which is nice. So let's get it kicked off. Gabby is a clone of Laura, not a clone of Wolverine. So, and she is a bit younger. She's on the, she's smaller in stature. And eventually what Gabby's going to become is Laura's little sister. She is a sunnier disposition. She's been protected a lot of her life from the worst, you know, quote unquote, of it. And what it is, we will get to shortly. But she is a really amiable kind of kid. She's protective over Laura. She tends to be a little bit of a loner. In her Krakoa days, she'll be hanging out with the outcasts, which leads to a really fun little story, but we're not going to talk about that today. We're not going to get to Krakoa. And just to get her powers out of the way, she is a Wolverine family member. She has the Wolverine healing factor. She does have claws. She's got one claw in each hand, in each wrist, and she's got the foot claws from Laura as well. They are not coated in adamantium. They are denser than normal bone. They are sharpened, but they are not adamantium claws. She doesn't have an adamantium skeleton of any sort. She is a trained assassin, so you better believe she can go in hand-to-hand combat. She's extremely dexterous and agile, so she's going to be flipping around, running around at your feet, being too dangerous to ignore, but you just can't quite grab her. And part of her powers, part of her tragic backstory, is that she doesn't feel pain, and none of her sisters did. None of the 10 clones of Laura could feel pain. They've all got Alchemax nanites inside of their bodies, turning off their pain receptors. So, blessing and a curse. The major part, the major downside to these nanite machines is they significantly decrease your life expectancy. This was something Gabrielle's sisters had to really try to grapple with. Gabby, we're not so sure with, though. The whole healing factor thing is something her fellow clones did not have. And she did. She kept it secret for a very long time, rightfully so. But because of this, that healing factor tends to make these Wolverine characters semi-immortal. So we're gonna wait for a writer to figure that one out for us. One more thing that is a little different from her and Laura, she is a better tracker. I think she has a little better senses than Laura. And because of this, she's also really good at hiding her footsteps, hiding her presence. She's using that tracking knowledge to counter other trackers. She's very good at. Even someone as expert as Old Man Logan had a hard time picking up on her. Her first appearance in comics is going to be an all-new Wolverine number 2. She's created by Tom Taylor, David Lopez, and David Navarro. And as I mentioned before, she is one of 10 clones of Laura Kinney Wolverine. She is the youngest of all these clones. They are all an offshoot of the facility that produced Laura Kinney, but this offshoot is run by Alchemax, the evil corporation from Spider-Man 2099. Mm-hmm. This is the part of the timeline where they're going to start to rise to power. But at the time of our story picking up, there will only be 4 clones left, 4 surviving clones. So this is where we're going to get into Laura Kinney Part 2. So this is all going to take place in the pages of All New Wolverine, which, spoiler alert, is going to be my recommended reading. Laura is going to find herself chasing down an assassin in Paris. We're going to have a very exciting action set piece of Laura tracking this assassin down using her boyfriend, younger Warren Angel, whom we'll be getting in the game soon. Boyfriend at the time, it should be noted, to help her with this whole escapade. This clone is trying to assassinate one of these scientists from Alchemax. Laura is going to keep the scientist from being killed. We're going to get, like I said, it's a pretty fun action piece. But at the end of this, Laura's going to realize that it's a clone of her. You know, the clone is going to fail her mission. And instead of being captured and sent back to Alchemax, she will choose to just jump off the Eiffel Tower and go out on her own terms. when her mask is removed, Laura will realize that she is a clone of Laura Kinney. She's wearing the same face. So this is going to start the quest for Laura to find and save these other clones. So we're going to zoom over to the clones. We have three left. We've got Zelda, Bolana, Gabriella, and we never get the name of the one that Laura stops in her mission, but she is known as Three Par. That was her kind of Alchemax assassin's name. And these four sisters have escaped Alchemax, and they are on a mission to punish Alchemax and punish everyone that was involved in their creation and subsequent torture, you know, denial of humanity, all of it, all the things that are paramount in a Wolverine style character, right? We're always going to have this Weapon X type of setting. As I established in the Laura Kinney episode, Wolverine's power set was very unique in the Marvel universe up until mid, late 90s, 2000s. Wolverine in universe, in kayfabe, is a very sought after piece because of his immortality, because of his healing factor. He's the perfect assassin. So if they can just mentally break him or find ways to clone him, which is what they're doing here with Laura, and create these assassins that can be handled and controlled, then you're just going to be super rich and super powerful. So naturally, corporations want this, right? Governments want this. This is why we're always getting these cloning sagas with Wolverine-style characters. So anyway, our four sisters, they have been supplied and backed by someone we did not expect, and that would be Kimora. That would be Laura's handler that gave Laura so much grief at the facility. Through some weird loyalty to the facility, Kimora is arming these four women against Alchemax because Alchemax stole research, right? This is bad guys versus bad guys here. But Gabby, being the youngest and being the best of the four, she's been shielded by her older sisters from just the worst of the treatment and the worst of the revenge, even. Gabby's starting to become a little uncomfortable with the more extreme methods the three older sisters are willing to use. So Gabby is going to give an anonymous tip to Laura about where to find and stop the next assassination attempt. Gabby gives Laura this anonymous tip. That's how Laura is in Paris and knows what to do. That's how she's able to stop Three Par. Unfortunately, of course, Three Par perishes in this, and Gabby will seek Laura out directly in the aftermath and confront her about Three Par and give the beginnings of what's going on to Laura here. It's going to set the whole story in motion. This will be Gabby's first appearance as well. This will happen in All New Wolverine issue number 2. So eventually, Laura and the three sisters are all going to meet. We're all going to end up fighting the same fight. Unfortunately, Sister Zelda, I believe, will end up dying in all of this. Bolana will end up leaving the crew and leaving Gabby with Laura. After all of this is settled, Kimora will be dealt with by Laura. And Gabby is going to be taken care of by Laura from here out. They will move into an apartment together. And eventually they'll become sisters. Part of Gabby's character development here is that Laura wants to find a good spot for her to have a normal life, or as normal life as she can possibly have. Gabby, though, counters with the fact that Laura is her only family now. With Zelda passing and Bolana kind of leaving the team, going out and doing her own thing, seeking her revenge on Alchemax, her own more extreme way, Gabby says to Laura, "You're my only family. You're all I've got. Don't send me away." And this is obviously the right move. They're going to live together, pal together throughout the entirety of this all-new Wolverine run. It's very fun. And let's talk a little bit more about it. And this next part of the story is when we're going to be introduced to Jonathan the Unstoppable. Show favorite Squirrel Girl will show up in the comic, which is wonderful. Squirrel Girl has rescued Jonathan the Unstoppable from an evil lab that's experimenting on him, of course, which really fits him into the Wolverine family, right?
Yeah, and later lays the seeds with the Guardians of the Galaxy family.
Exactly. So Jonathan is a Wolverine. Squirrel Girl brings Jonathan the Unstoppable to Laura Kinney, Wolverine. She's the only Wolverine in Marvel 616 continuity at this moment. Seeing as how Squirrel Girl can talk to animals, she naturally assumed that a character named Wolverine would also be able to talk to Wolverines. It all makes sense, right?
So funny.
Fortunately, Laura Kinney cannot communicate with Wolverines. But fortunately, Gabby and Jonathan make an immediate connection, and one thing leads to another, and now this family's got a pet. At this point, Gabby's still hiding her healing factor from everyone. No one really knows that she's got it. And we're going to have an encounter with Old Man Logan here. In Old Man Logan's time, Gabby Kinney will betray and kill Laura Kinney in his timeline. So Old Man Logan is on a mission very similar to Bishop in Messiah Complex here.
Oh, man.
Which, well, we'll talk about it in the Bishop episode. I love Messiah Complex, but quick aside, they did Bishop dirty in that one. They really did. They needed a villain. I just think they picked the wrong one. Anyway, that we'll get there in Bishop's episode because he's in this game and we're going to do one on him and I'm excited about it. So anyway, Old Man Logan, he's going to try to kill Gabby. Eventually, he kind of will. And Gabby will heal. That is when her healing factor is revealed to Laura and the rest of everyone. We're going to get some Captain America here because Ulysses, the Inhuman, is the precog Inhuman, is going to see this happen. So Captain America is going to show up. This is slightly before the Civil War II going on. Old Man Logan, Laura, Gabby, they will eventually all figure it out. And this will also be where Jonathan will get his nickname of the Unstoppable, as the three are talking in the apartment. The apartment will be busted into by burglars. Jonathan will immediately react and try to protect Gabby. He will take a bullet. The three Wolverines will beat the offending burglars up, sending them off to the authorities. Jonathan the Unstoppable, being a Wolverine, both in spirit and in species, will be able to take said bullet, and Gabby will nickname him the Unstoppable here.
Because he doesn't die, and exactly, he's got that Wolverine grit.
Exactly. So the next storyline we're going to talk about, and this is another big Laura storyline, so spoilers abound here. What's going to happen here is Laura is going to be set up for killing an entire population of Dalesville, California. The setup is, of course, that it was B'Elanna out looking for some revenge on Alchemax. So they set Laura up. They make it look like she has done it, that the trigger scent is back, and that Laura just doesn't remember doing this. And of course, she's going to be hunted by every law agency in the United States. Gabby's part in all of this is that she's going to be put in a shipping container with some other children and shipped off to Madripoor, where she'll link up with Gambit, Angel, and Marvel Girl. She will save B'Elanna's life and bring her to the side of good for a little while, giving an opening for Laura to deal with Kamara once and for all. Of course, Kamara has had a major spot in all of these Laura Kinney clone storylines up until this point, because Laura's gonna drown her. Kamara is no more.
Whoa.
After this, B'Elanna has been saved by the Wolverines and this cohort of heroes, B'Elanna is going to admit to being the one that actually murdered that entire town in California, and she'll be arrested by S.H.I.E.L.D. She'll give herself up willingly, and a formal declaration of take care of Gabby is issued to Laura, and it's just off to the races from here. We're going to have more adventures in New York City, and they're really going after this child trafficking thing, which is awesome. Gabby is going to be involved in something going on in New York containing the Laura Kinney virus and then healing it. We're going to get Deadpool introduced into this whole thing. Oh, and Dakin. This is where she's going to meet Dakin as well. And here it's going to use all five healing factors here of Dakin, Old Man Logan, Laura, Deadpool, and Gabby to cure this virus before it really destroys everything. Gabby will, after this storyline, start going by Honey Badger. And she's going to have a really cute storyline with Jonathan here. Her and Jonathan are taking a walk through the city. And they're going to accidentally walk by the very labs that Jonathan was rescued from. So naturally, Gabby wants to take this lab out, right? She doesn't think Laura is going to go with this. And I love this story because it's a real character development story for both of these girls. Gabby not thinking that Laura is going to side with her on the let's just burn this place down, she seeks out Deadpool. This is where Deadpool, it will be established that Jonathan is not a fan of Deadpool. Jonathan the Unstoppable is usually very cool with all Laura and Gabby's friends. Deadpool, he does not like, which I think is funny. They're going to make a mess of trying to take out this evil scientific experimentation facility. Laura's going to end up showing up to kind of help save the day. And this is where we're going to get that magic moment of Laura telling Gabby that, of course, I would have helped you take out this lab. They're evil. I'm always down to stop evil. Never hesitate to, you know, come to me with anything. I'm your sister and I always support you. And it's very touching. And I love it.
That's the whole point of this. Yeah.
100%.
What they're developing through this.
They're going to spend some time with Jean Grey's X-Men for a little while. This will be X-Men Red. Don't need to worry about it too much. We're going to have a really interesting, weird storyline with the Stepford Cuckoos. During this time, the Cuckoos have lost two of their number. They're usually five. The evil one, Esme, is trying to transfer her consciousness into Gabby so that they can, you know, through MacGuffins, they can bring the other two back to life somehow. And this is all going to end when one of the good Cuckoos comes to find Laura. Laura's going to help put a stop to this after some battles on the psychic plane and whatnot. And that's going to be really the last storyline until we hit Krakoa and some Gabby's going to show up in the Age of X-Men event a little bit, but I don't know that we need to worry about that event at all. It was right. A throwaway event to buy more time for Jonathan Hickman to get the relaunch going. So we're not going to necessarily cover that. One of these days we will do something on the Krakoa era of X-Men.
Yeah, for sure.
Today is not that day. And this is where I like to stop because I want you to go read Krakoa stuff. Anyway, that's Gabby. Throughout her comics run, she's going to be shown doing a little bit of working on making friends and being less and less of an outcast. But she's always going to be, and I think this is a very Wolverine trait.
Yeah.
She's always going to be an outcast because she's always feels like Laura, like Logan, I presume like Dakin. They always, in the back of their heads, they always feel maybe a little broken for all of the things they've done, both willingly and unwillingly. They've all taken a lot of lives over the years. They tend to just fit in more with the counterculture crowd, the kind of outcast crowd. And that's what you're going to see with Gabby on Krakoa. And it's going to lead to a very interesting storyline with the Shadow King. So just a little teaser there for you.
Yes, it does. And also off that concept, Chris, which I think is really fascinating. Tom Taylor has said all four clones of the girls, and of course one of them, which is Gabby, our true clone,
right,
are different aspects of Laura's personality and kind of yeah. What ifs with Laura and all this stuff. So all that said, I think Gabby, at least her life has been a little bit better than the other Wolverines, right? In the
yes,
sense of and that's the facet of the personality I want to talk about real quick.
Absolutely. I think Tom mentioned, and I'm glad you brought this up. I think Tom mentioned that Gabby is kind of representative of Laura's lost innocence.
Yeah.
She was shielded by her three older sisters from the worst of the abuse, from the worst of the missions and violence and everything. She's done plenty. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But in the scheme of all the Wolverines.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She definitely represents
purist.
A life Laura could have had, a life more of innocence and not having to grow up so fast, not suffering all those terrible traumas that she did before she connected with the X-Men. yeah, I think Gabby is extremely insightful and useful as a character because of that.
Also, it gives Wolverine himself, as an OG Wolverine, Logan, more growth because, as you mentioned, they now have this kind of Wolverine family, including Jonathan, the Wolverine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like being dad of this family of two very different girls and a pet Wolverine.
And like, and Daken to a lesser extent. There's a lot kind of there's yeah. a lot of animosity there between Wolverine and Daken. But during the Krakoa era, you start to see that heal just a little bit. And I will say, Gabby and Daken get pretty close during the Krakoa era as well.
Which is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So, yeah, I just want to touch on that Gabby is representing that more innocent side and more just what ifs for the Wolverines. Like, what if you got a little bit more of a childhood?
100%.
Substantial for them. And I say all that because she is one of our youngest characters we've done on the show ever, right? And
yes.
That's part of it, too. So her life is getting to turn a corner in a different way that their lives never did. And that's a fun thing to explore through character growth of Gabby, but also her relationships with her big sis and her dad, Logan.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, we don't have Gabby in the MCU yet. I don't think we've had her in animation either. I could be wrong on that one, though. I'm sure someone will let me know if I am.
One day, though, maybe.
I hope so. I think she's a great character. I would love to see a Wolverine's cartoon even.
But that would be really good.
With the success of X-Men 97, I think we'll probably see quite a bit more from Marvel animation from that particular studio and that style. So we will see. They've clearly got a penchant for showing any character they want to because Exodus was there dancing.
Oh, yeah,
we saw
true.
Exodus dancing. That was so weird. Anyway.
Cool stuff.
Very cool stuff. But yeah, that's going to pretty much be it for the lore on Gabby Kinney. My comic book recommendation is just the all new Wolverine run. Tom Taylor writes most of it. Gabby's there for almost all of it. You're going to get Gabby's origin story and pretty much all the stories we talked about today through there. So it's a really great read. I would encourage it.
All right, Chris. Well, let's get over to Marvel Crisis Protocol with strategy and talk about Honey Badger.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Sure. And strategy. Starting with her name, it's Honey Badger, and her alter ego is Gabrielle Kinney. She is a two-threat character. Very notable for us on the show. There's not very many two-threats, and we've not done a two-threat in a very long time. And let's talk about her stats. She has a stamina of 5 on her healthy side and a stamina of 4 on her injured, giving her a total of 9. She's a small base, medium mover, size 2, and her defenses are 3 physical, 2 energy, 2 mystic. So, Chris, we're at that 8-9 health range that two threats typically land in, you know, and her stats, well, she's a Wolverine, you know, her stats.
She's a Wolverine.
Yeah, they show that. So, but yeah, I'm excited to talk about a new two threat for us here on the show.
I know that she's gotten a lot of negative press when it comes to her competitive viability. Her and Nebula both.
Because can't they play the game.
Right. They can't score for you.
Yes.
They can only kill. But I think Honey Badger offers a little bit more flexibility in what she can do for you than Nebula does.
That's totally fair.
And I think we should get into it. Let's start with her attacks. Her first attack is a physical attack. It is Claw Slash, range 2, strength of 5, power cost of 0. She will gain power equal to the damage dealt. And on a wild, you will trigger the bleed special condition. All in all, for a two threat, this is a really great builder.
Yeah, it's the highest dice builder we have on a two threat, right? So that's very cool and makes sense. She's a Wolverine. Her builder should hit the hardest. Nebula's got other ways to hit harder.
Yes, she does.
But yeah, it's just a good way to build power. Five dice. Bleed is nice. You'll take it. No pierce, but she has a two threat.
And she doesn't have adamantium on the claws.
That's a great call out. Yeah, absolutely. Despite what AMG's art and paint jobs will tell you.
I know.
Also, I will give them shout out for the good, though. Her art, black hair with the blue highlights. We're fully in the Wolverine family, but something went terribly wrong with the studio paint job because she has light brown hair. And I don't know what happened there.
Not everybody's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is your PSA. Canon color for Honey Badger's hair is same as Logan, same as Laura. You know, they're all
absolutely
in that dark hair, blue highlights family. So that's kind of their comic MO. But let's talk about her second attack. It's a physical attack called Hamstring, also range 2. So all of her attacks are range 2. Strength of 5 as well. Power cost of 3. If the attack deals damage after the attack is resolved, target character will gain the slow and bleed special conditions. So you have to deal damage, but they're getting those automatically. And on a wild, you will trigger elusive. After the attack is resolved, Honey Badger may advance medium.
I think this is a very useful attack to get that slow onto characters.
Yeah.
But you're not always going to have the power to do it. It depends on how your opponent plays against your Honey Badger, because they're going to try to get her out of the way so they don't have to worry about her anymore, or they're going to straight up ignore her until they can't anymore. So you get this hamstring off, you put a slow on one of their long movers or on one of their extract carriers, they're probably going to turn around and deal with Honey Badger pretty quickly after that, because that is honestly, slow on the right character is absolutely debilitating.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a really cool thing that she can do, because we'll talk about it more in how to play her as a whole, but
yep.
She's a great tool to deal with big characters. And this is just one of those tools in her tool belt to deal with big characters, right? And just be annoying to them and be a thorn in their side, quite literally. Let's talk about her superpowers real quick, starting with the first one. It's an active superpower, too dangerous to ignore. It's going to sound familiar because Luke Cage has it, costs 2 power. When an enemy character within 2 of Honey Badger targets another allied character with an attack, Honey Badger may use the superpower. Honey Badger now becomes the target of the attack, regardless of range and line of sight. So not bodyguard, but it is taunt. And this is essentially, if Gabby's in range 2 of a bunch of enemies, anytime they want to attack someone else, she can take it on herself.
This is the whole crux of her kit. This range 2, and really range 1, we'll get to it in a second.
Sure.
She wants to be up in everybody's face. She wants to be in the thick of everything. Typically, I'll explain this more, but most games, I run her straight at the big, bad, offending character that I want to annoy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't bother with anything else a lot of the times, unless I've taken the tactics card, which we'll also get to.
Yep.
But you just get her up into it for a little bit of control. The amount of control this character offers for a 2 threat is actually wild. And I want to talk about next one of those control pieces. This is an innate superpower. It is called Ankle Biter. Honey Badger cannot contest, interact with, or hold objective tokens. Okay, that sucks. But hold on, there's more. Additionally, when an enemy character within range 1 of this character is attacked by another allied character, the enemy character rolls 1 less defense dice. She is a walking incinerate. This can be extremely useful. This can also be used to just force your opponent into dealing with a 2 threat character with a very high threat character. Anytime a high threat character targets a 2 threat character, you, the player playing the 2 threat, have 1. Just period, end of story. That is the long and short of it.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Now it's taxing their resources to deal with something that's not worth their time, right? And that's her goal. And she's got more ways to do that. We have another innate ability, Lil Sis. This is going to pick up from our last episode with Laura with Big Sis. And it's just the inverse of that. If an allied Laura Kinney is within 3 of Honey Badger and damaged by an enemy effect, after the effect is resolved, Honey Badger may advance medium towards the character that damaged Laura Kinney. Honey Badger may only move once per turn as a result of the superpower. This is the way she gets to move around. That's how she gets some action economy without like having a charge or a hit and run, because she doesn't have that. This is pretty good.
And it's free, right? You just need to meet those conditions. Elusive does trigger on her spender, which yes. gives her a medium advance, but that costs 3 power.
Oof.
Something that might be tough to get with her at times, because you're going to want to have that 2 power open for 2 dangerous to ignore, because that feeds into Laura's Big Sis power. If you've got them within three, you taunt, and that gets Laura up to Gabby out of activation, which is absolutely incredible. Out of activation movement for Laura. This is great. Honey Badger absolutely can help, not help you accomplish this. She can accomplish this for you. Just there.
Yeah, it helps Laura not get double tapped too, right? Because frequently big you time. Could move, Laura gets attacked, Honey Badger moves up. Now she's in too dangerous to ignore range. You can guarantee that Laura doesn't take that second attack because you moved up and things like that. So, and yeah, this is an advanced medium. You can end anywhere on the stick. You don't have to go the full range or anything like that. We know how the toward tool works. You can go over and stuff if you need to.
Right.
So there's a lot of layers to it and there's a lot of positioning. And it's also why we said last episode, you'll frequently take Laura without Honey Badger, but you won't frequently take Honey Badger without Laura. And part of it's the superpower.
I take Honey Badger without Laura pretty regularly.
Sometimes you have to for threat and X-Force, right? But
yes,
them together is definitely a force multiplier where we talked about, you know, Rocket and Groot on their own or Rocket and Groot together. Reasons for both, but them on a flank together is a huge headache for your opponent because there's layers.
It really
of this.
Is. But I do want to really emphasize, you do not have to play them in that play style. You can play them together on different flanks and they're still both very effective.
Absolutely. I have also done that as well. Sometimes turn zero will dictate that, right? Sometimes you'll 100%. Have a plan to put them both on the right flank, but then you see your opponent deployed Hulk on the left flank and you say, well, actually, Laura's going to stay on the right, do her thing. Honey Badger's going to go on the left and make Hulk attack her.
Well said. That is pretty much the exact scenario we've both dealt with.
Yeah.
And both use the same tactic with.
Yeah. And great players will play around that too. Shout out to one of my opponents from WTC. I did this exact thing in one of my final games and he totally played around it. He just threw Honey Badger away every single time he could with Hulk to not even have to deal with that. And Laura stayed on the other flank and did her thing. So it's part of the puzzle of Honey Badger and Laura and keeping that puzzle going in her final superpower. It's healing factor one. It's innate as well. So she doesn't have the healing factor two of Laura Kinney and Logan, but healing factor one is also very deceptively good because the more Honey Badger gets to activate throughout the game, obviously the more heals you're getting. And now that 9 health total is a little deceptive.
It absolutely is. The way to get rid of Honey Badger is truly just to spike her out of the game, which is very possible. She's a 2 threat. Her defenses aren't great.
But exceptional healing exists.
It does. And it is an extremely frustrating thing to do against your opponent, to play exceptional healing to keep Honey Badger on the table.
Yeah. She's ready to taunt again. She didn't die. Yeah,
if they wasted 2 rounds trying to get rid of her and she's just still there, it's really tough.
It's really fun. She's really good at that. And her backside, nothing changes. I did mention she goes down to that 4 stamina.
Yeah.
She's got a very simple card, Chris, and it's a very effective card.
It is simple to read and it is tough to master her on the table.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things she can do and there's a lot of ways you can mess it up. But if your plan is to use her and Laura together as a 5 threat character, that is very doable and very effective. She's also effective on her own. And I think we got to get into the tactics card here.
We do.
To really present another play style for her, because I will say if you bring this card, it will change the way you play Honey Badger quite a bit. And of course, this is the Jonathan the Unstoppable, unaffiliated, and active team tactics card. Honey Badger may spend 2 power to play this card. Place a Jonathan token within 1 of this character. While this Jonathan token is in play, it contests objective tokens as if it were an injured allied character. If an enemy character ends a movement within 1 of the Jonathan the Unstoppable token, remove the token from the battlefield. During the cleanup phase, if an allied Honey Badger is on the battlefield and there is no allied Jonathan token on the battlefield, you may return this card to your available team tactics cards. This card may be played again this game. This card is a little much to wrap your brain around at some points, mostly because of positioning and power, right?
Yeah.
Where do you want to throw this down? The obvious answer is a back point, freeing up your very in-your-face team to not have to worry about defending a back point or scoring a back point. It can be extremely effective.
Yeah. You don't want to get incinerated by the demons downtown? I don't. Well, Jonathan doesn't care.
And even if more simple than that, just getting two or three victory points off rotating of this card is insane.
Yeah. It is insane because it's kind of like you have a two threat in your squad that's just parking.
It's like adding Wong to your squad, right?
Yep. In some ways, it totally is. Yeah. I'm from a scoring perspective.
And positioning perspective. Yeah.
And what's also so interesting about this card, Chris, and I think a lot of people miss this part because it is nuanced on the card. It's hard to get rid of Jonathan too, because it's not range one of the objective. It's range one of him. So the example of that is he could be on the back end of objective, on the very back of it within range one, scoring it. And your opponent could get to range one of the front end objective. Obviously, they're winning that objective now if they're healthy because Jonathan's injured, I say. But they have got rid of Jonathan because they have to go all the way, essentially where their model's overlapping the objective, to get rid of him.
Right.
They got to be within range one. So you could do some fun stuff with this too, where, like you said, it's a big map with a lot of points. It's a Scoundrels. It's the back one closest to your deployment, and he's on the back of that. Your opponent's got to go a long way to get rid of him. And in a weird way, it's like a stagger to them, because do they really want to double move a character to get rid of Jonathan? And the answer is probably yes, because they don't want you to score a point, but you also took that character out of the game for a minute, whoever went to deal with him.
I think that's a really great point. I think her entire kit is kind of a stagger to your opponent if you're doing it properly. Because you're forcing actions into Honey Badger, attacks into Honey Badger that they do not want to send her way, which will theoretically help get Laura up the board into the action. Or maybe you're putting a slow and a bleed on a character that cannot, Black Cat can't have slow, or she's going to get caught with that extract, right? So it's essentially a stagger to get rid of that slow on the character. It's stagger to force them to attack into Honey Badger. It's a stagger to get them to do anything to Honey Badger. This is what she is. She's supposed to annoy your opponent into messing up their action economy.
I love it. No, I absolutely love it. And the combination of what Jonathan's doing here is just another layer of the Honey Badger puzzle, like you're talking about. And we know how good the Mystique token is. And Jonathan's essentially the Mystique token, right? Except he's a Mystique token that you can position a little bit further back, right?
Right.
So, and he comes back. Now let's talk about the downside of the Jonathan, Chris. Obviously, it's best played round one or two. And so you need to have two power round one or round two. There are new ways to do that. In affiliation for her, Professor X comes to mind, which is fantastic. Like, someone could do a superpower. Cable could buy a slide up the board. Under Professor X leadership, you pass Honey Badger a power. She drops Jonathan on the back point, and then everyone's good to go. But
right.
Outside of that, outside of Wong, outside of advanced R&D, other things like that, and humans, it's very hard to play Jonathan early.
If you don't have any of those power gaining techniques, you're going to have to play Jonathan top of round two, which really does keep Honey Badger from being able to get where she wants to be in the game. Mm. Top of round two, you want her in someone's face. You want her being too dangerous to ignore. You want the bodyguard to be online and ready to use. You want her in a position to where Laura will be able to be within range three if she takes damage, so that Laura can advance towards that character and also get in people's faces and possibly be able to double tap round two. That's the dream for Laura Kinney in MCP, double tap round two. So it does change your play pattern with Gabby quite a bit, to the game plan being to use the card ASAP. There is an option of diving deep with Honey Badger and throwing Jonathan on one of your opponent's points,
sure,
forcing them to come back and deal with it. That's a little bit more risky of a game plan, but it is available to you.
Yeah, and I also like that this card, you don't have to be tied to this turn one or turn two play. This can also just be a card to get you to win the game late when your opponent forgot that Honey Badger can score with a card, because we all forget it, because she can only score with this card. And then late game, you say, actually, she walks over to the Scoundrel, scores it with Jonathan, and that's just what I need to win the game, right? So it is a get out of jail. It is a finish the game card as well. So it's got multi-use, and the fact that it comes back is, I think, amazing, because as Chris was saying, you could score two, three times with this card in a game, and part of that might be a product of Jonathan going away and coming back, right?
100%.
Because I don't think your opponent's going to give you three turns of Jonathan scoring on a point. But if they do, then you're winning with this card regardless.
Agreed.
So it's very good. Obviously, Honey Badger's got to be alive as well. And that's part of it. If she's off the board, Jonathan goes away as well. So there's layers to this onion to unpack, but I think it's absolutely something always worth considering with Honey Badger, especially on the more fighty teams like X-Force and stuff, where you're going to bring Honey Badger more often and you're just fighting in general more.
It helps X-Force keep up in the scoring department against really objective-based teams. And it's just another thing for your opponent to have to think about. That's what I really love about Honey Badger. And when I really started playing her a lot early on, you could hear me talking about it, you know, at the top of our show about how, man, Honey Badger's not nearly as bad as everybody kind of says she is.
Not at all.
Because she just presents so many options. And she's not going to be great into every matchup, granted. But what character? There are very few characters that are. And as a two-threat character, I wouldn't want her to be great into every matchup.
When you've also got to look at Honey Badger in the affiliation lens, which we're going to get into now, where she is a two-threat character for these affiliations that have no other two-threat characters at the moment at this threat level of two. That's Uncanny X-Men, Weapon X, and X-Force. She is their two-threat. She makes math work for them that doesn't work in other ways, right? So that also is honestly her strongest ability. Is the affiliation.
Availability is the strongest ability, isn't it?
Right.
Two threats are always available.
Yeah, the fact that you have a two threat that can give you more flexibility and give you affiliation, she's fitting right in. And what's cool is she fits these teams really well. You guys know Chris and I have played a lot of Honey Badger on the show. I've played her in my X-Men teams a lot, even though I think X-Men's the place or the least out of these three teams. But Weapon X and X-Force, just like we said about Laura Kenny, staple of your 10.
So I tended to use Jonathan the Unstoppable a lot more in Weapon X than I do in X-Force. I'm curious to see if that will stick around when Weapon X gets their refresh with Maverick coming and the character named Weapon X. We'll see how that all shakes out. But I'm very excited to potentially be returning to that affiliation this year.
I am too. And I think Honey Badger is an essential piece of both of those affiliations.
I think she's a massive piece in Weapon X right now. Deadpool's glow up makes her less needed in X-Force, which is interesting because he's also available in Weapon X a little bit. But it's just the nature of the cards and the gameplay and the changing of Weapon X is just cool. I need to get back to them. Not talking so about cool. them is reigniting it. I just need to get that dossier on Laura more.
So much mobility, yeah, for that team in general. And yeah. I also like, too, Chris, the Honey Badger's synergy with Weapon X and X-Force, where she's helping them get their kills, but also they have ways to buff her defenses to make her too dangerous to ignore better. Weapon X through the leadership, and X-Force through Cable shields, which is part of the leadership, I say in quotes, because it is the leader himself. So you're making her more annoying by giving her more defense dice and making her do her job better.
She can be extremely annoying. I really believe that piloted properly, Honey Badger is an extremely good piece on the board.
Well, don't forget Weapon X too, the second part of the leadership. If she gets that short move as well, she could get into another even better two dangerous to ignore position
for Ankle Biter.
That too, both of them. Yeah, it's crazy.
You've seen me have Ankle Biter on three different characters before.
Oh yeah, and then Logan comes in with that beam.
Exactly,
it's crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah, so she is doing so many things, and something we didn't talk about at Ankle Biter, which I think we should talk about now, Chris. It does stack with Incinerate.
It does. And another very important thing to say is the word other allied characters is there. Ankle Biter does not affect Gabrielle's attacks herself. So they will be rolling their normal defense dice on your own attacks, even if you're within Ankle Biter range.
Good call out for sure. Definitely only enemies. And yeah, she's just a giant Incinerate debuff, which is so cool.
Walking Incinerate. It's very neat.
And it stacks with Incinerate. So if you're playing on Demons Downtown or maybe Pyro's in your team or things like that.
Cable loves it.
Cable loves it.
Sitting in the back, handing out Incinerates, and then Honey Badger.
It's wrong.
Running up and taking another one of the defense dice. Now they're down to one. Now they're down to two, right? It's just these little incremental things. It's getting one or two more damage in, one or two more damage on for Domino to play with, for Deadpool to sap power from other characters. X-Force is all about incremental power gains like that just to take more and more advantage slowly.
Yes. So let's talk about her working with X-Force affiliation. So she gets the reroll. Very good. Help her find that bleed or help her get more power to do more taunts. With X-Men, it's a little bit more nuanced. I think she fits the Scott team best
100%. Being able to get her spender off more often is very good because it's really
just little bits of power.
It's quite a good spender, but spending three on a character with her kit doesn't have a lot of power generation outside of spiking on her attacks or getting spiked into from attacks. It's hard to spend that three a lot of times, but being able to borrow power here and there, now we're talking.
Yeah, the new Scott leadership is all about just dealing damage, and she deals damage, right? It's that type of thing where it's all a team together and they're giving each other power by dealing damage. In addition, the professor is probably the worst team for her, even though I think it's still completely fine, because passing her power to make sure those two dangerous ignores are always online is pretty cool. It's pretty awesome.
Well, and her bodyguard will trigger his.
It will.
It will be an out of activation,
which is never bad.
Power being used, which is exactly what you're looking for with Professor X.
Yep. And then in Storm, of course, she helps you go wider. She helps you keep affiliation. And she also can use the hop. I've used the hop on her a lot just to get her a double tap, right, on a character.
Or keep her within range one, or get her in range one of multiple characters. Yep.
Yep. I will say her efficacy dropped in Storm with the nerf to Storm's cover and Storm's hop, because if you guys aren't picking up what we're laying down, Honey Badger does not have a lot of power to spend. She's trying to do too dangerous to ignore and or exceptional healing, maybe a hamstring if you're lucky. But I mean, it's really about as many too dangerous to ignores as you can, and having to pay for the hop now, and then obviously losing cover, like the auto cover, which helped her before. It made her a little bit more defensive.
Yes.
She's just not quite as good. And that's the last bit I want to talk about here before we move on to other affiliations. She does have a big weakness to gun lines.
Absolutely, she does. She's tough going against the Nick Fury shield. She's tough going against Invisible Iron Man shield.
Sure.
Guardians. She's got to get up there. She's got to get into it. And by the, you know, if they're able to target her and double tap from range, it's just going to be tough.
Yep. And she also doesn't get like full agency with her taunt against the gun lines, right? So there's many layers to it. So keep that in mind. But let's maybe talk about some other places you could play her outside of the mutant teams, Chris. And I will say we've been on kind of a streak of like, you can play Deadpool anywhere, you can play Domino anywhere, you can play Laura anywhere. That's starting to change now because number one, we're talking about a two threat. And number one, we're talking about a niche two threat that has a specific role. So the teams narrow quickly, which you can bring her on, I think, in a realistic way.
Absolutely. There's a lot of teams we could say that she would benefit her.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily see the benefit for them. Anytime you bring Laura, if you can still have your affiliation,
that's
and
the big
bring
one.
Honey Badger, that's really good. But of course, that's two out of affiliation characters. That's tough sometimes.
Right. So we mentioned like Laura and Shadowlands Daredevil, an amazing place. She could get those rerolls. Honey Badger could follow up with her, get rerolls, also just be a little taunt in that team of a bunch of three threats that are shooting at you. I think that's really good, but do you have space there, right?
Right.
Like, you're probably already playing Bullseye to keep affiliation. So do you have space for two threats? And maybe that's where the question is can you spare a second two threat for Honey Badger? That's the bigger question, because most teams have an affiliated two threat.
Somewhere I think she actually works pretty well in almost every respect, if you can make affiliation, is Sam's Avengers.
Sure. Yeah.
She's easy to take out, so that's going to trigger the leadership. She helps take things out. She helps get Laura where you need her to be. Maybe bring Jonathan, but I don't think you need to on that super wide team that Sam brings.
Right.
But having the taunt with Sam is always good. Having a character that your opponent can easily daze and take off the board, which is just going to trigger Sam's leadership, and it's going to be them wasting actions into a two threat character. So I think she actually works pretty well there.
Good shout out, Chris. Yeah, another place I think she works pretty well, if you can afford the slot, is Daredevil's Defenders, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because her goal is already to be in range two of as many enemies as possible, right? That's her goal at all times, because giving her options with the taunt. And so now you're just literally doing a play pattern you already are trying to do in Daredevil to get rerolls for your attacks. It's giving you multifaceted results of that, because it's helping your taunt be better and positionally better, but it's also giving you more rerolls on her strikes, which will give her more power for her taunts. So actually, that's a really good spot. The Daredevil Defenders, shocked me, I haven't seen her as much lately, but they still are a new affiliation.
And Wong is just so good in that two two slot.
Once again, it's the second two threat there. Yeah, for sure.
Big time. It's just, it's tough. She will work really, really well there. Is it the best option? I don't know. But it's something to try on your tabletop games. It's something to try in your kind of lead up to competition, your dojo games, because maybe it resonates with you. Maybe it works for you. Maybe you're better with her on the board than you are with Wong, even though Wong is the generally accepted better play.
Yeah. And I think with that mindset too, Chris, if you can slot a second two threat in your list, she's a good spot. But also, I think she just likes fighty teams, right? And you've got to be content with that. You got to be content that you're really just not going to play her with an objective team. So I think any team that has a gun line, she's very cool. We've talked about that. You can use her as a mobile incinerate platform. That's pretty amazing. But also, like, you can just have a niche piece. That's the cool thing about MCP. You don't have to play her that often. She can just be, oh, we're playing researcher. Okay. I want some of the cantant on the researcher, right?
Great point.
But my normal two threat bullseye or whatever is going to be more games or toad or whatever, because I'm said affiliation. I'm brotherhood or I'm criminals. So she just gives you options. And I think she's a pretty great two threat. She's one of the hardest hitting tanky two threats we have. And it's just cool to see these variations of differences between the two threats. And she's this cool midpoint between Nebula and Okoye.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, honestly, her tactics card, Jonathan the Unstoppable, brings a lot of versatility to her kit. It brings a lot of difference in play style too. So you are able to play two or three different ways with Honey Badger if you really want. There's the support Laura version of Honey Badger. There's the just get in and affect as many characters as possible version of Honey Badger, which can probably be worked with. You can probably mix and match all of these styles, however, but when you're running Jonathan, it really does require you to be more of a going around and getting things accomplished instead of up in faces type thing.
That's not a bad place for her to be.
No, multiple play styles is a boon for any character or affiliation, and that's one of the things I'm wanting to deep dive into Spider Foes with, because they've got three or four different ways you can play that team, and I think they're all probably pretty effective.
I agree. I completely agree. And Honey Badger can slot right into your Spider Foes team.
I think so.
That taunt aspect and that, you know, oh, we are fighting, playing a fighty map. We're not playing the typical objective-based Spider Foes. Okay, well, Honey Badger's coming out this game, right? A more narrow fighty map. So there's options all around for her. The nature of two threats is they mainly help you keep affiliation, and they are all role players. They have a very specific role. And that's where AMG has designed them, and I love that. And so by that fact alone, Honey Badger is going to be splash less places, but it's not a bad thing. I think it's good for the game.
Fury's Finest is supported by our wonderful patrons. You can become a Fury's Finest patron by going to patreon.com/Fury's Finest.
You can follow us online. Find us on X at Fury's Finest Cast, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitch at Fury's Finest, and email us at furiousfinest@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks to Approaching Nirvana for the show's music, and please rate, review, subscribe. If you can't afford to become a patron, this is one of the best ways you can help us, is by rating, reviewing, subscribing, listening, maybe recommend the podcast to others that might be interested in MCP, play MCP, or just want to get a quick feel for a character, maybe.
Absolutely.
Every little bit helps.
Yes, it does. You can find me and Chris several spaces online. You can find me, Jesse, all at the same place. At Jesse Aiken, JesseEakin. And check out my Star Wars Shatterpoint show, Hello There, a Star Wars Shatterpoint podcast, everywhere podcasts can be found. Chris, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Discord. I am Strong Style, Chris Finest, in all the MCP-related Discords. You can check out my NBA podcast, Orange Futures. We are ramping up for the playoffs, and we should have a very fun and ridiculous summer with that podcast. So tune in.
Well, we hope you guys have enjoyed this two-part Laura Kinney series. We're going to be on something very new soon, but this was a fun X-Force miniseries we had, Chris.
Yeah, it was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
Yep, and I know there's a lot of like diehard X-Force fans out there, so we hope you guys enjoyed it. But even if you guys didn't know X-Force, we hope you learned more about X-Force throughout these episodes, and something's going to come up in topics in the future as well. This is not the last time we mention X-Force. All right, thanks for listening, True Believers.
Excelsior.
The world has gotten even stranger than you already know.
At this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
10 bucks says you're wrong.